welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Associate Pastor B.J. Stockstill.
I want to talk about a topic that, or let's say a term, a word that has kind of become maybe obsolete in today's world, in today's society, and that word is commitment. I want to talk about commitment, and as we're talking about a holy generation this year, I think it's very important to get a hold of commitment and what it means and why it's good for us. So first off, what is commitment? What is commitment? Commitment is an engagement or pledge to do something. It's an unreserved devotion, bound to stand fast or hold in place. Commitment is the state or an instance of being obligated. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but we live in a self-serving, live for the moment, do what feels good, instant society. Have you by chance noticed that? Because I sure have. Commitment is a term that I'm afraid our younger generation just doesn't understand. It's something they don't get. And the reason that I think they don't get it is because they don't see somebody in front of them living commitment out. They're not seeing it played out in life. Commitment to the younger generation just means that we'll do it until it doesn't make us happy anymore or until we're tired of it. I think of cell phones. I think of internet plans. I think of satellite dish, satellite TV. I think of these things, and most of them have you sign some kind of contract, right? Like you sign up and you sign this contract for 2 years, and you're in an agreement, you're in a commitment with them for 2 years that you're supposed to keep their plan, except for you can get out of that commitment at any time you want if you're just willing to pay some money, right? So until this doesn't make me happy anymore, we've lost the meaning of commitment. See, we view fulfilling a commitment as just showing up and being there because we should. Well, I'm committed to this just because have you ever gone somewhere to an event or to somebody's house, to a family member's house, and you go there and you tell your spouse, you tell your kids, whatever, hey, we're just going to go in here and we're going to slip in and make sure we're seen because we told them we would come here, but then we're just going to slip out and we're not going to, have you ever, I know some of us are guilty of that, but commitment, here's what I think we've done. We've replaced commitment with contribution. We've replaced commitment with contribution. Contribute in the dictionary means to give a part. To give a part of something. See, contribution has an underlying expectation of receiving something in return. Whereas commitment seeks nothing in return, it's doing it because it's what you do. See, when you make a contribution to, like, let's say life groups, you make a contribution with food expecting to get more food in return, right? I mean, that's the way my mind thinks, to make a contribution. It's not that you're just so committed that if I'm the only one that brings food, I'm going to bring food. It's that I'm going to contribute my food expecting to get someone else's food in return. See, commitment, though, is giving your all. It's being fully in. Commitment is more than just contribution. It's more than that. And if we're going to be a holy generation, we've got to get a hold of commitment. We've got to get a hold of being committed. So my question tonight for us is, are we committed? And I want to talk about a few things that I think we need to ask the question, are we committed in this area? So the first one, and probably the most important, because this one sets up the scene for the whole rest of these questions I want to ask. The first one is, are you committed to building a relationship with Jesus? Are you committed to that? I made this statement a couple of weeks ago in our panel, and the statement was this: holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. And we have to remember that this year as we talk about a holy generation, and as we talk about these things that we need to be doing, we have to keep in mind this is only possible because of and through Jesus. So it's nothing in and of ourselves. But right here in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, Paul is talking about his former life of being a Pharisee. He was very, very by the book, strict to the law, so much so that he persecuted Christians. We know the story of Paul and his being changed to Saul and all of that. But what Paul's talking about here is obeying the law as a Pharisee. And here's what he says in verse 7, 8, and 9. He says, I once thought these things were valuable, following the law to the T. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ, for God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. And what Paul is communicating here is that we need to be committed to a relationship with Jesus, not just focused on obeying the law to the T. Our focus is on Jesus. And here's what happens. When we cultivate a relationship with Jesus, when we spend time with him, when we spend time in the Word, when we build that relationship, we have the mind of Christ. And in the mind of Christ, our actions start to line out. See, it's from the inside out. I mean, you see Jesus countless times talking to the Pharisees. You clean the cup, you worry about the outside, but you do nothing with the inside. It's not changed. See, it's from the inside out that we need to do this. You know, think about it in this way. As man thinks, so is he, right? We talk about that here a lot. And if we have the mind of Christ, then obviously we line up in this holy generation thinking. And so cultivating this relationship with Jesus is so important. And pray. Spend time with him. In prayer, it changes things. Pastor Ashley's testimony right up front a while ago. Prayer. I mean, he said it. People that have things like this happen to them don't usually make it this long without it being caught. Why did he make it? I know why. Because he had a lot of people praying for him, not to mention himself. Praying for himself, believing his healing, standing firm. Man, go back and listen to last Wednesday's service on the putting on the whole armor of God and standing firm. But we have to pray and seek a relationship with Jesus. Psalm 37:5 says, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. See, when we dive into Jesus and we build that relationship, commit to building a relationship with Jesus. The next one I want to talk about, the question I want to ask is, are you committed to overcoming sin? It's a big one. Are you committed to overcoming sin in your life? To overcome sin, you must absolutely want it out. You have to want it gone. But that only comes by the blood of Jesus. The only way we live a life that we can overcome sin is through Jesus. We can never accomplish that on our own. And I don't know we have to overcome sin. I'm not thinking of the little things that we don't think about being sin. I'm talking about the ones that we know that we deal with, that we fight, that we struggle. You know, Paul talks about, I know what's right. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I do it anyway. What's wrong with me? Why do I keep? That's the sin that I'm talking about here. We have to purpose to get rid of that. And I don't know what that is for you. We're all tempted by our own different evil desires. But if you have an issue that keeps coming back, we have to get a hold of this commitment to overcome and get rid of sin that comes through Jesus. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14 says, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin," hallelujah, "to cleanse us, to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds." Now, Jesus gave his life so that we would be committed to overcoming the sin in our life. And I personally want his sacrifice to be worth it. I don't want his sacrifice to just go on as, "Well, no big deal." We've got to get a hold of overcoming sin in our life. And here's what we have to know. God is committed to us. He's committed to us. Psalm 105, 7 through 11 says, "He is the Lord our God. His justice is seen throughout the land. He always stands by his covenant, the commitment he made." He always stands by his covenant, the commitment he made to 1,000 generations. "This is the covenant he made with Abraham and the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree and to the people of Israel as a never-ending covenant." This is what he said, "I will give you the land of Canaan as your special possession." Well, what was Canaan? Canaan was the land flowing with milk and honey, right? It was the one that they carried back the grapes that were, I mean, in my mind, when I read this, the account, I think of grapes that are like this big around because it took so many soldiers to carry them on a pole. I mean, we're talking about the abundant, blessed life. God's committed that to us. He's committed to that. Never-ending covenant. "I'll give you the land of Canaan." He wants it for us. But it does take a commitment on our part to do it right and overcome the sin. And when we do that, we walk in the blessing of God and the blessing of a holy generation. We have to commit to overcoming our sin. Since this is Valentine's Day, it's pretty appropriate to ask the question, are you committed to your marriage? Are you committed to your marriage? According to statistics, the last I saw anyway, at least 50% of marriages end in divorce. Why do you think that happens? Here's why. It's because someone made a contribution but didn't make a commitment. They made a contribution, not a commitment. Every person who's married, they make a decision. They stand before a preacher or someone who's licensed to marry them, and they make commitments and they recite vows. They kiss each other, they walk out together to live, but not necessarily happily ever after. Listen, princess stories, Disney movies, all of that are great. But happily ever after, come on. It's not just rose petals and hunky-dory happy life ever after. That's not the way it goes. And we need to know that. We need to know that there will be hard times. There will be times that you disagree. There will be times that you want to walk out, slam the door and leave, peel out of the driveway. Those things will happen, but we have to have a right response, and we have a right response by being committed to our marriage. So why did they divorce? One or both of them did not truly commit their life to each other. Plain and simple. One of them didn't take the commitment serious. Or both of them. McKinley and I have been married for 7 years, going on 8 this year, which is awesome. And I understand that's no awesome, wild, crazy feat. But there have been times in almost 8 years that our commitment has been tested. I mean, it's not that one of us thought about leaving, but really, our commitment, we had to Think about it. Man, we're committed, and we're committed to figuring out and working through things that we disagree on, problems that we have. Plus, McKinley told me if I ever divorced her, she'd kill me. And I told her she wouldn't have to kill me because her dad would beat her to it, so. And Kelly says amen. But Proverbs 18:22, it says, "The man who finds a wife finds a treasure, and he receives favor from the Lord." See, we have to treat marriage like the treasure that it is. A man who finds a wife finds a treasure. And we have to think about it that way. God gives us favor. That's what it says. He receives favor from the Lord. So go on dates. Spoil your wife to the best of your ability. Find out what she likes. Get those things for her. Buy the little things that they love. I personally really like the fact that McKinley likes little trinkets because it's an easy way to really show her I love her. She appreciates those things, and I know that, so I try and do that for her. But treat marriage like the treasure that it is. Be committed to your marriage. Because you know, a lack of commitment in your marriage, it can break down a lot of other things. When you lack commitment in your marriage, it can really cause problems in a lot of other areas. I mean, if things aren't going good at home, a lot of times things don't go good everywhere else. So be committed to your marriage. Some of the young people in here I know are sitting here thinking, all right, talk about marriage, blah, 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 get on with it. Doesn't have anything to do with me. It's Valentine's Day, whatever. But you're wrong. This absolutely has everything to do with you. You have to get this. Here's what my question to you. Are you committed right now to the day that you will be married? Because there's a commitment you need to make to your marriage right now. As a young person who's a Christian in this world, there's a big commitment that needs to be made in many areas. And let me just tell you, when I was younger, for whatever reason, I guess it was just a value instilled in me, I didn't date unless I thought there was a chance that I was compatible in marrying this person. And so in knowing that, as I got a little older, I didn't really have that many girlfriends, people that I dated, because I thought this way. But as I got older, I got a little deeper understanding of this. And quite honestly, it was about a year before I met McKinley. And what I got a hold of was, I'm not ready for marriage. I can think this through all I want. Well, would she be a good mate? Would she not? But if I'm not ready, and I'm talking to you young people, so don't disengage. If I'm not ready for marriage, then God's not going to bless me with the person that I need, that he wants to see me with. And I got, when I got a hold of this, now, you don't need to do this necessarily as a 12, 13, I mean, it's just youth and up that's in here. But when you turn 16, 18, you start getting close to graduation, you know one of the next seasons of your life is going to be marriage. A lot of people are married at 19, 20 years old. So find books. As a teenager, how can I be preparing myself for marriage? Obviously, purity, a big deal. Be committed to the person you're going to marry someday. You don't know who they are, but be committed to that. Commit to your marriage. Are you committed to your children? Are you committed to your children and building a relationship with them, teaching them? A very high level of commitment is necessary with children. Think that through, anybody who's not sure about having kids. It's a high level of commitment. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9 says, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. There are times at night I don't want to sit down and read the Bible to my kids. I just want them to quit yelling and being rowdy and go to bed so McKinley and I can have some quiet time. But you know what? We sit down in that chair every night and I get the Bible out and we read the Bible. Because I'm told right here, day and night, get this in your kids. And I'm committed to my kids as a Christian ministry. And I can tell you, I know just by watching before and after services, we got a bunch of people here who are committed to their kids, committed to their family, committed to their marriages. I know all of that. I get that. But we've got to be reminded what it means to be committed. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." See, this kind of commitment, it impresses, it makes God smile. It makes God happy when we operate in a level of commitment in all of these areas. It makes him so happy with us. So be committed to your children. And the last one I want to talk about, are you committed to your ministry? Yes, your ministry. Are you committed to your ministry? Ephesians 4:12 says, "Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do the work of the ministry and build up the church, the body of Christ." See, we all have a ministry. Everywhere we are, we talk about that a lot here. When you're in your workplace, are you committed to your ministry? Are you committed to it? When you're out at the mall, are you committed to your ministry? When you're at school with all of your peers, are you committed to your ministry, what God has called you to? See, if you want to fulfill your purpose, we have to be committed to our ministry. Our purpose in life is to minister. To minister to people. To bring God's will in heaven on earth. Commitment's more than contribution. And we got to get that. Just think about the matter of bacon and eggs. The chicken makes a contribution, but the pig, that's a commitment. We'll let that one sink in for a second. I like that one. Here's what we got to know. God's looking for people that he can trust, people that are committed. Be committed to the church. Be committed to life groups. Be committed to serving. Be committed to your ministry. Be committed to grow in the Lord and cultivate that relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing that we can do. Be committed to a holy generation. Good word tonight.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.